deal with some doctrinal issues. And, you know, again, we've said this a whole lot of times. A lot of folks say, well, I just don't know about doctrine. Well, I can tell you, doctrine is important. Doctrinal issues are always important. And as you begin to read those things, when you jump into chapter number 6, and probably a little bit, maybe 6, 7, 8, whatever, when you're looking at that, it gives you the idea or the thought of our sanctification. And boy, let me tell you something. That right there scares Baptists to death. You start talking about sanctification, they think, oh boy, you're off the wall, you're something else and whatever. No, I'm just telling you, that's a biblical principle. And the idea of sanctification, of course, is this, that God has saved us and has a purpose for us in our life, and He is setting us aside. He is making us separate. And really, the idea of sanctification has to do with the idea of being separated from this world and the things and the ways and notions of the world. And Paul talks about that. As I say, as you begin here in chapter number 6, he's talking about these things. Matter of fact, he starts out in verse number 1, if you want to read with me. He said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Paul's making, as I say, a doctrinal issue. And he's saying, look, here's the way that we should live. We should live realizing that we're dead to sin. He said, you're dead. Realize that. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And look at verse number 3. He said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. He said, therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. For if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Amen? I mean, Paul is telling us, I said, some doctrinal issues. Most, if you read some of the things that Paul writes, sometimes it's difficult. Think through it. You have to listen to the, look at the structure of everything that's said to get through it sometimes. So hopefully we can do that. You and I look at these things just for a few minutes. Let's talk about baptism. I mean, you know, as I say, here Paul is talking about the ideas of sanctification, and especially he's talking about our righteousness and our obedience unto the Lord in a lot of things. God is looking for us to realize that we have become righteous because Christ Jesus has saved us. And that's one of the things that Paul is saying here. He said, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? If you become right with God, if you have that righteousness as we talk about, if you become right with God, then he says, you know what? He said, you should not live any longer to sin. And then he begins to talk to these people and he said, do you guys not understand that when you were baptized into Christ, you were baptized into His death? Now, I think here he's talking about the fact of a spiritual baptism. There's a baptism in the Spirit, and there's a baptism that we do in the water. Two different things, but the first speak about the baptism, being baptized in the things of the Spirit. Hey, that's what happens when you get saved. God saves you, and He puts you into this place that Paul begins to talk about. So, just for a few minutes, try to make it quick and simple. We'll look at this and realize what he says there in verse number 4. He said, therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism in the death. Let me just give you an announcement right off the bat. Anybody we want to take up here into this pool of water, that water does nothing for them as far as a spiritual cleansing from sin. That water doesn't do anything. Amen. You've heard a lot of preachers say this. I know when I was a kid coming up, they'd talk about people going up in the baptismal pool and said, well, you know, they went in a dry center and they come out a wet center. In other words, there's nothing magical. There's nothing mystical. There's nothing really involved in that water. It's just simply a picture of something that the Lord commands us to do. In the Baptist church and a lot of other churches, there are two ordinances that we believe in. We believe in believer's baptism, and we believe in the Lord's Supper. Those are the two ordinances that we say that the church sees and fulfills that we ought to do. And, hey, this is what we're going to do tonight. We're going to have a baptism. Why? Because two young ladies got saved by the grace of God, and they just want everybody else to know where they stand. That's the idea tonight. So just real quickly, think about this, if you will, as far as what Paul has said here. First of all, I want you to get the idea that Paul is getting across here, that as these girls got saved, and as we all do when we get saved, you have become joined with Christ. You have become joined with Him. You got bonded with Him. As a matter of fact, hey, it actually becomes your new identity because you are a Christian. Listen to what Paul said. He said, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. He said, therefore, we're buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. In other words, what he's saying is, you're doing the same thing that Jesus did. You're telling somebody else you've joined up with Him. How many folks go into clubs or organizations of some type, and you know what they tell you? Well, we've got a little ritual that gets you indoctrinated into our belief. You've got to go through our little process here. You've got to do what we do, and you become one. As a matter of fact, go to them. A lot of times they'll tell you, raise your hand and say, I promise to uphold the bylaws and the Constitution of whatever it is that you're joining, some little club, some little organization, and you sign something or you pledge it verbally or whatever it is, and they say, now you're one of us. Can I tell you, when Jesus saves you, when the Lord gets a hold of you, you become identified with Him. And you should become identified with Him. Paul said, don't you guys get this? Don't you understand that we're baptized into Him? We're baptized into His death. We're being like Him. He said, and then, like we're believing that baptism to death, then like Christ was raised up from the dead, he said, and lives in a new life, that's what we're trying to tell people we're identifying with. Why? Because we believe that's the basis of part of our salvation, is that Jesus died for us. But then the fact that we have eternal life, He died, He was buried, but thank God He rose again. Amen? And that says, I identify with that. I believe that. I trust that. I own that. I'm one of them. If you go through the book of Acts and you study where Paul has going establishing churches and doing all that, those people, as they came in, after a while, people began to look at them and they said, oh, they're some of those Christians. They're some of them people that Paul has gone out and preached, and they're acting like him, they're talking like him, they're looking like him. Brother, that's what this whole thing is about. You and I should have a Christ-likeness about us. And that's where the baptism fits in. So first of all, hey, we're joined in with Him. Aren't you glad to be joined in with Him? I'm glad to be His. I mean, I'm glad to tell you that He untied the bonds of my sin. I'm glad to tell you that I'm united in the things that He is. I'm united with Him. I mean, I want to go to heaven with Him. I want to come back to earth with Him when He rules and reigns. I want to be with Him. I want Him to be with me. I want a fellowship. I want to know. I want to come to His church. I want to know His people. I'm united with Him. And then let me just tell you this. I'm unashamed of Him. Amen? When I joined up, I didn't join up to be ashamed of what I joined up in. You ever been part of something you was ashamed of? Well, don't answer that for some of you. You might think about your family. I don't know, but you know, there's some folks, yeah, they can't even know them. Boy, I really don't know them. I mean, that's the way we get sometimes. I joined up with this group. Well, I'm like Paul. Paul said in Romans 1:16, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed. Later on, when Paul was talking to Timothy, he said, Timothy, don't be ashamed of the Lord nor of me, his servant. I mean, look, you and I have nothing to be ashamed of. I know it's not real popular to be a Christian nowadays, and it's not what everybody wants to do, but thank God I'm not ashamed of it. I'm joined up with it. But not only do you see Paul here talks about joining up with him, he also talks about this journey that we take with him. In verse number 4, if you will, think of this as a little journey. He said, we're buried with him by baptism into death. Wow, that sounds kind of scary, doesn't it? But that's the first part of this journey. I mean, actually, your baptism is a picture. It's a picture of what happened to the Lord Jesus in real life. First of all, he was dead. I mean, there's a picture of death. There's a picture that doesn't look so pretty. And that's what Paul said. Therefore, we're buried with him by our baptism into death. I mean, here you are walking along, and you find your life in Christ, and then you find out that you're dead to this world. Paul goes on and talks about that in this chapter. He says, verse number 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. In other words, we have had a death in our life. When we come to Christ, the old man, the old way, the way that we used to live, that has all died. There's a death. Oh, but aren't you glad of this? You don't just leave them there dead. There is a deliverance that happens. Isn't that what Paul says? He says, when you're baptized, death, he said that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, there is a deliverance for those that come to know him. He brings you to that place where you're dead to this world. But then just like this, you come back up. And he says, you know what? You've been delivered from the death that's cursed and sent upon every man that comes into this world. You, as the old saying is, if you're born once, you'll die twice. But if you're born twice, you'll die once. Amen? Now, I know sometimes that's hard to follow, but hey, he said, if you just get born into this world and you don't have a spiritual birth, you're going to die, and then there's going to be a second death, separation from God for eternity. He said, but if you get born twice, you're born as a human being, and then you get born again, thank God you only got to die once, and then you're going to heaven to live forever. Amen? Hey, there's some deliverance that is given to those that come to this place of death. It's a journey. It's a journey, but we're no longer dominated by the power of sin. It's what Paul says. You're delivered. The dominion of sin is no more. And guess what? Your desires have now changed. Your desire, what is it? Well, like Paul said, he said, those things I used to love, I hate those now. And those things that I used to hate, he said, I love them. I mean, it's just one of those things that when the Lord changes your life, when you go through this little journey, you keep on going on a journey with your life. Amen? So we're joined with him. We're on a journey with him. But then last of all, notice this, that we get all of our joy from him. All of our joy. Look what, again, in verses 4 and 5, he said, therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. We're going to be like him. When he came back to his own, when he came back to those disciples after his resurrection, he came into that room with them and he looked at them and the first thing he said was peace be unto you. And then they were all afraid. He said, look, don't be afraid. It's me. He said, here's my hands. You see the scars in them? He said, feel them. Reach in there. Find out. It's me. And brother, Jesus said, I come so you can have some joy in your life. Thank God, aren't you glad when you come through this experience of getting rid of your sin, changing your life, and coming up from that place of deadness into a place of a new life, there is way that can be in your life. There's a lot of folks that say, well, preacher, after people get saved, they got to have a stiff upper lip, don't laugh, don't grin, don't have no fun. I'm sorry, folks, I didn't get that memo anywhere in this Bible. God said it's a life where you and I can have joy. We can enjoy it. We can laugh. We can have fun. We can smile, and we can have some glory in our lives that comes from knowing Jesus. Amen. That we can know it from being Him. You're raised from the dead. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? You're raised to a new life. You have a new life. That's something to be joyous over. Amen? Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. You ought to have some joy in your life. I mean, Jesus said, I'm come that you might have joy. Peter said it was joy unspeakable and full of glory. I mean, listen, friend, it's time that God's people had a little joy in their life. Well, preacher, you don't watch the news, do you? Sure I do. I know what's going on in this crazy world. I know what's going on between all of the conflicts in the Middle East and over and between Russia and Ukraine and between out in the Far East with China and North Korea. I know all that. But can I tell you something? It doesn't affect my joy. I've got joy because of what Jesus did. The joy that comes from heaven. I'm raised from the dead, and I'm living a new life. Not only that, Paul talks about the fact that you're raised from the dead, but you have relinquished the old man, right? He said, knowing this, in verse number 6, that our old man is crucified with Him, with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. He said, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Amen? Now, I don't want to be morbid, but you know what? Dead people, you see them laying there, they don't have a care in this world anymore. They don't have an obligation. They don't have, I mean, what? Well, they're dead. They don't know what's going on. Boy, aren't you glad when you get saved, it's that old man and those old ways have all died out. Now, you're still in this flesh, and it's still a battle. Don't misunderstand that. But in the spiritual realm, you're free. You're freed from the power of those things that once had the dominion and the hold on you. You're changed up from them. Amen? You're relinquished. You're relinquishing that old life. But I'm going to tell you this, just more than anything, you ought to realize you can, as I said, rejoice in your new life. Rejoice in your new life. Look over in chapter number 5. If you're looking in your Bible, you can flip back one page. Chapter number 5 and verse number 1. Listen to what Paul said. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Paul said, guess what? You can rejoice because you've got a new life. Amen. You rejoice. You've got a new life. You've got something that is better than what you had before. Oh, you get up from a place of prayer and realize you've turned your life over to Christ. Your life is different. Your life is absolutely different. And you've got something to rejoice in. You can rejoice in that. And then listen to what Paul says. Flip your paper the other way, your page the other way. Right in Romans 8 and 1. Paul says this, there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. I've got something that I can rejoice over. I'm free in Him. Amen? Aren't you glad you're free in Him tonight? I'm free. And as I say, Paul talks about this baptism simply as a picture of all of these things that we've said. He said it's that you have died to your old ways, your old self. You've died. And then you're buried like Jesus was in the grave. And then you are resurrected. You come out of that water and you're there with a new life. You're there with a new life. And that's what it's all about. This, as I said, this water is not mystical. This water comes from Walker County. So some of y'all done drank a bunch of that today, right? I mean, y'all know that ain't no miracle. Amen. It's rusting your pipes and cankering up your stove and your pots and your got all them sediments hanging out of. Hey, it ain't nothing magical about that. But it's just the fact that this is a picture. It's a picture of what happens when a person comes to Christ. We are dead to this world. We're buried in that water. We come up and we have come to a newness in life. Pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty simple. You know, a lot of folks try to make it hard. As I said, a lot of folks try to make it a way of salvation. A lot of folks try to make it so many things that it's not. I mean, you hear people, I've heard them for years saying, oh, I went down the river and that washed my sins away. No, it doesn't. Huh? Your sins are already washed away. Mine got washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what washes you white as snow. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I mean, it's the blood that does that for us. It's His blood that was shed on Calvary and us believing it. But now we're going to give the world a picture of it and said, I'm not afraid to identify and be one of His. Amen? I'm not afraid. Well, we're going to get ready and go back here and come around this way, and we're going to get wet here in just a minute or two.